Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Job's latter end. Job's latter end. The book of Job is one of the familiar books in the Bible. And I know that many of us don't like to read the book of Job. Isn't it? Why is it that we don't like the book of Job? Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg. But the book of Job is a highly inspired book that gives us a balanced perspective of the Christian life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your Christian theology does not accommodate Christian suffering, then that theology is very faulty. If as a Christian, you have not gone through the valley, you have not suffered before, and you're a Christian, I can guarantee you that at one point in time or the other, you will suffer. Everywhere is quiet now. Say, Pastor, but we just pray now. After all that prayer, what are you saying? Every suffering, every trial that God allows you to go through is so that God can shoot you higher and higher in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the book of Job is rich in inspiration. It's a book that helps us to strike a balance in our faith in God. This book helps us to understand that life is not a straight graph. Life is not what? A straight graph. And I'm sure we have so many elders in church, they will tell you, life is characterized by seasons. There are moments in life when everything is great, smooth, and straight. And there are also moments when life becomes filled with much drudgery and little pleasure. And you don't just know what to do. The truth is that no matter the seasons of life, you find yourself in your life's journey as a believer, God will always be there for you. The Lord was with Job through the various seasons of his life. He's with us also in our life's journey. And we bless our latter end. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will bless your latter end. Tell your neighbor, this latter end of the year, God will bless you. It doesn't matter what you have gone through this year. And it doesn't matter what you are going through now. How many days do we have left in December? 30 days? 29? Tell your neighbor, 29 days is too much for God to turn things around for you. 29 days is too much. It's not over. It's not over yet. Tap your neighbor and say, it's not over yet. Who has the final say?
Jehovah has the final say.
God has the final say. Job's life can be divided into three parts. I know we've studied about the congregational life cycle, that the human life cycle can be summed up in these three parts. The early part of our lives, the middle part, and the latter part. So also every year can be divided into three. The early part, the middle part, and the latter part. And we are in the latter part of the year now, isn't it? In the early part of Job's life, it was glorious. Job had solid relationship with the Almighty God. Job chapter 1. The Bible said this man was blameless, upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Was having wonderful moment, wonderful relationship with the Almighty God. In this early part of his life, he was blessed. Blessed with children. Blessed with cattle, sheep. Look at verse 3 of Job chapter 1. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. This man was blessed. He was a great man. Let's turn to chapter 29 and see Job's testimony when he was talking about this early part of his life. Job 29 from verse 1. Are you in Job 29, verse 1? From verse 2, I read, "How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty God was still with me and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil." Verse 7. "When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me." What did they do? They step aside. "And the old men," what did they do? "They rose to their feet." It was glorious for this man. In that first part, that early part of his life, we can read on and on this chapter and see how wonderful, how glorious, how beautiful this first part of his life was. In fact, the devil himself testified concerning Job before the Lord. He said, "The reason why I've not been able to touch him all this time is because you did what? You built a hedge around him." Job enjoyed divine protection. The early part of his life, wonderful, glorious. But in this middle part, something strange happened. Something unusual occurred. The negative happened in his life. It was a season of satanic, upsurge, satanic harassment. And we see that from verse 6 of that same Job chapter 1. "One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From what? from roaming through the earth. That's his ministry. It's an agberu. Moving from where? Up and down. Tell your neighbor, you will not get near me this month. Satan will not come near you. When they are saying it, you better say it. Because if the devil pitch his tent near you, you're in trouble. There's no mercy with Satan. And it's my prayer for you and myself this morning that may God not undo you over to Satan. I didn't hear your amen. Can you imagine that in a split moment, all that God has gathered for this man in the early part of his life, he lost them in less than a day. Lost his business, lost his children, lost his health, lost his family. It was so bad that the wife said, what are you doing again? This is your SU. Yeah, no go follow. Curse God and die. Let's know that you are dead. Of what use is a man like you again? Things turn around to the negative. And to make the matter worse, his friends, when they came, because they lacked divine perspective, they could not see what God was doing. They began to say all kinds of things. And maybe it's your sin. I know that's usually our interpretation, isn't it? When somebody's going through bad moments, bad season as believers, the first interpretation we give to it is what? It's sin. But this man, it wasn't a matter of sin. God only wants to prove a point to the devil. And you may be here this morning. January, February, March. Glorious. But all of a sudden, in the midst of the year, things just took the negative turn. Don't give up. It's not over yet. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven that is trying to prove a point over your life. Hallelujah. 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 So we see Job 42. One thing I always thank God for is that the story of Job did not end in Job 41. Job chapter 1, or even 41, that there's a Job 42. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the choir sang this morning, that my best is yet to come, that's a word from God to you. Your best is yet to come. And it's starting now. It's starting with this service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see Job 42. After all said and done, we are now in Job 42, the latter part of Job's life. Verse 10. Can we all read verse 10 together? After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over some of the trouble. All the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of ox, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the 4th generation. And so he died, old and full of years. Can we shout hallelujah? That same God who did it for Job is in church this morning. You are the next in line. The encouragement we must go with from today's message is that God will always have the final say in our lives. We should therefore learn from Job on how we should respond to trials and allow God to turn the hopeless situations in our lives around. From this chapter, there are some inspirations I want us to quickly glean on how we can experience God's glory in the latter end. And the first thing we see in the life of Job is in verse 1 of that Job 42, which has to do with the fact that he exercised faith in God's omnipotence. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. I know that you can do all things." Job didn't make that confession by verse 10 or verse 12. Even before God came to his situation, Job had faith in God that even in this situation, God can still do something. That God can still show up and turn things around. And I need to tell you, my brother, my sister, regardless of what you are going through this morning, this omnipotent God can still do something. He can still do something. You are thinking that, I'm close to retirement and they want to mess me up and push me out of office like this. God can still do something. It was a different story you left office with on Friday. Tomorrow is another day. God is going to turn things around for you. Friday was bad, but Monday will be glorious. Hallelujah. 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 You're thinking of packing it up, say, "I'm going to commit suicide." Why do you want to commit suicide? When the omnipotent God is still on the throne. Job said, "I know." Do you know that he didn't say, "I believe"? He said, "I know that you can do all things. You have power to reduce a man to zero And at the end of the day, behind the zero, you add another zero and put one behind it and change the zero to what? To 100%. I know you have power to do all things. Who told you that between now and December 31st, bro will not come? Sister knows that I'm talking to her. That is a moment that I've been waiting for the children to bring their suitor home. Who told you that this Christmas, your daughter will not come and tell you, say, Mommy, it has happened. No. Say, what has happened? He said, that thing now. Say, what is that thing? That thing we have been praying for, that we have been fasting for. Bro has manifested, though. Who told you that bro will not manifest between now and Christmas? Let me touch your neighbor, say, he's coming. Don't touch a married man. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job displayed faith in God's omnipotence. Not just in this verse. As he was going through this season, Job 13 verse 15. Give us Job 13, 15. Can we read together what Job said? In that middle part. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Let's read on. Okay, 19. Let's go to 19. Chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. Chapter 19. Can we read together? I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. There is 6. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. 23 verse 10. 23 verse 10. Can we read together again? But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth. Hallelujah. You are coming out better and stronger. Number 2, Job came to an understanding of the plan of God. God has a wonderful plan for all his children. His thoughts towards us are not only profound, but precious, very good, and vast. The thoughts that he has towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Until you have a basic understanding of God's plan, the enemy will continue to taunt and torture you in your life's journey. Job finally came to that understanding and declared in that verse 2, verse 2b, no plan of yours can be thwarted. No plan of yours can be what? Can be thwarted. Message says, nothing and no one can upset your plans. The plan of God for your life is intact. Nothing can thwart it. Nothing can offset it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It demands that we be careful with our utterances. If God is going to bless us in our latter end, we need to be careful of what we say when we are going through this middle part. We all say certain things that that shouldn't be said while going through valley moments. Job said many negative things while going through the dark days. Let's see Job chapter 3. I'm sure you are familiar with it. And this to show that as humans, we will manifest some of these human traits. But the wisdom of Scripture is that we need to trust God. It's better to keep quiet than to say negative things to yourself. Verse 3. Job chapter 3 from verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth. Job did what? Opened his mouth. And did what? And cursed the day of his birth. He said, may the day of my birth perish. And the night it was said, a boy is born. That day may it turn to darkness. And may God above not care about it. May no light shine upon it. And so on and so forth. Let me not read that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What do you say when you are going through valley moments? It's better to just close your mouth. It's better to cry and cry than to say things that eventually will be a problem. His three friends did the same. In fact, they added insult to injury. And God was not happy with Job's friends and instructed them to go and apologize to Job. That leads me to the fourth point. That for Job to experience God's blessing in the latter end, he acknowledged his sins and repented of them. While it was not sin that led to Job's trial, but in the course of going through the trial, he sinned. Did you get me? It was not sin that was responsible for the trial. But while in the trial, he sinned with his mouth. And God will not turn things around until there was genuine repentance, both for Job and all that were involved. Job 42. Job chapter 42. Let's see what Job said in verse 3. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Verse 6, therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Those of us who are familiar with the story of Job, at a point in the journey, God said, yeah, come. Let's talk. Since you think you know. Were you there when I created the mountains? Can you talk to me about this? God began to ask him questions. And he came to this point that I've dabbled into matters I know not about. And he asked God for forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Not only Job sinned, his friends also were guilty. And we see that from verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, what did he say to them? I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So what was the prescription for divine intervention? Verse 8. Can we all read verse 8 together? So now, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. And after that, what will Job do? My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. So Job acknowledged his sins and repented of them. And his three friends were guilty. God also showed them the way out. And also this service. For you to experience what God is offering us this morning, there are certain issues you need to repent of. What you have said, they shouldn't have spoken. Maybe somebody that you have wronged, that you need to go back to after this service and say, I'm sorry. It's very, very important. Because until you do that, God may not turn things around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number 5, Job eschewed bitterness and forgave all who offended him. Bitterness has to do with resentment, hatred, hostility. Bitterness is a terrible poison, and many people caught by it are drinking of it to their own destruction. Unfortunately, it's one of the common sins of believers. While we don't fornicate, commit adultery, and do other extraneous sins that we know they are terrible, then we find it comfortable to be bitter. Are you in church this morning? And you are living in bitterness, you must drop it on this second day of December. If you want to go far in life and you want your latter end to be blessed than the beginning, you must throw away bitterness. Bitterness is responsible for some of the incurable diseases that many have. Job eschewed bitterness and forgave his friends that he had once described as miserable comforters. May the Lord by Spirit help you to forgive every hurt and pain people have caused you in life. especially in the course of this year, the earlier you forgive, the better for you. Still looking at that verse 7 to 9. It was a test for Job. That was the final test for him to move into his breakthrough. God said to Eliphaz, the three of you, go and meet Job. What if they go to Job and Job said, now you are coming to ask for forgiveness over my... Is that not what you normally say? Oh, whom did you say ask you to come? God. That serves you right. I won't forgive you today. Come back December 31st. Let me torture you a little more. But Job didn't behave that way. What was it that he did? Did he forgive them? He forgave them. He prayed for them. Never did he know that we're doing that. There's something around the corner that God wants to do in his life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 10. Can we read verse 10 together? After Job had prayed for his friends, so that suggests to us that the turnaround came. When did the turnaround came for Job? After he prayed for his friends. Who is that friend that has tortured you this year? Who is that man that has made life miserable for you? Who is that person in your life? Today, God wants you to pray for the person. Hallelujah. God wants you to do what? What type of prayer? What type of prayer? Holy Ghost. Is that the type of prayer? It's not Holy Ghost fire to consume anybody now. But to say, Lord, this man has hurt me so badly. Some of us here, it could be your child. And you have told that child, don't ever come near my house again. God is saying to you this morning, it's not about that child, though. It's about your own life. Because after now, there's something I want to do that this is the condition. I remember once in the campus fellowship, a president said something that got me angry. And I wanted to justify myself. I got to the room, I knelt down and prayed. I said, Lord, I didn't like what Abbott said today in the fellowship. I'm very angry. He stepped on my toes. And I was waiting for God to give me the next line, whether I should begin to call Holy Ghost fire. And I was shocked to hear the Holy Spirit said, if he stepped on your toes, go and cut it off. So that next time there won't be any toe to step on again. So I look up and say, ah. I thought God was going to support me. So I forgive Abbott because I don't want God to. Can you let me touch your neighbor? It's time to forgive. And the Holy Spirit is saying to my heart, now there's somebody here, you need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive who? Your own self. Certain things you did that you just wonder, how could I have disappointed God? Why will I mess up like this upon all that God has done for me in life? And you are feeling unworthy. And you think that the best way is to eliminate your life. God is saying, no, I'm not done with you yet. Forgive yourself. Hallelujah. 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 So God turned Job's terrible situation around for good. We serve a God who specializes in turning hopeless situations around. We serve a God who controls times and seasons. We serve a God who has the final say in people's lives and destinies. We serve a God who does not forget his own. We serve a God who can bring beauty out of ashes. It is never over when God is over your matter. God turned Job's situation around for good. God made him prosperous again. God gave him twice as much as before. God blessed the latter part of Job's life than the first. That same God is still on the throne and he can do it for you and for me. He's in church this morning to turn things around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we bow our heads and pray?
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.